We left off 2 weeks ago. Last time we learned on Dalet Amud Beis. Just to review a little bit, the Gemara quoted Rava here. Take a look. Dalet Amud Aleph, four lines from the bottom. Omar Rava, Yisrael Mumarech on the Beilus L'Teyoven. A person knows how to shecht, knows how to shechita, but the kosher food is so expensive, so he eats Nebelus. He buys non kosher food. But if he would be able to buy kosher food, the same price non-kosher food, he would be happy to buy kosher food. Okay, we don't have it yet. Oh, the price will be the same, you mean? Yeah. But it never happened. So Rav is Oktachidish, that if I can't trust him for Bedikas HaSak, and that's a Dovash Yesh Batircha. Since he's so used to eating the Vela, so we can't trust him. He's going to do a good job on checking the night. But if we are Bedik Sakin, Benoy Senloi, and then he says, I did a good job on the Shechita, so we can trust him. We say, Erechot Naman Bisum, we believe him. Usually there's a din, Achoshar Al Adavar, Loi Donav Al Amira. If the person violates the mikveh lady, he has to be a woman who observes Taras HaMishpacha. A man has a restaurant, so he tells me that it's kosher products. If he himself doesn't keep kosher, he doesn't have Namanis. If he observes that din, let's say, the man keeps kashas, but he doesn't keep Taras HaMishpacha. So in America, that's common. America, that's a common thing. A lot of people keep kosher. They don't keep Taras HaMishpacha. So he's believed on kashrus. By other people, by Svardim, a lot of Svardim observe Taras HaMishpacha. They don't keep kosher. So by them, Taras HaMishpacha is Mohammed. So whatever they observe, they're Nemanim. Whatever they don't observe, they're not Nemanim. The person who keeps kosher doesn't keep Taras HaMishpacha probably will not be that observant in the kashrus either. He probably will not be that learned to know all the details of kashrus. So he's not, it's not a magical thing. He cannot be neman on kashrus past the extent of his knowledge. To the extent that he's knowledgeable, so he has nemanis. If he doesn't realize you have to have hashgacha on all products, he only knows you have to buy kosher meat in a kosher butcher shop. He doesn't realize that other products can have non-kosher ingredients that make it drink. So it doesn't help. He's going to say everything is kosher. He doesn't know what kosher means. But if he knows what kosher means, so then he has nemanis. So Rava says achidush. Even though the fellow eats nevelas, he does it l'teyavon. He doesn't do it l'hachis. L'hachis doesn't mean he wants to get the Rabbanu Shalom angry. He wants to give the Rabbanu Shalom a heart attack. L'hachis just means eino makbid. He doesn't care. Even if the kosher and the treif cost the same, he doesn't care. Kashrus doesn't mean anything to him. So if a person is echon nevelas l'hachis, he's ain't a makbid on kashrus at all. So he's a choshen al adobah. He doesn't observe kashrus. He can't trust him on the shechita. Even though he's going to swear on a sefer Torah that he did a good shrab of shechita and will give him a faher, and he knows the shechita and he's strong, and we see he doesn't faint. He knows how to hold the animal. He has no nemanis. But this person is mumarch and nevelas l'teyoven. So Rava has this chiddush. We cannot trust him on the bedikas hasakin. That's a dovash yesh b'tircha. But on the shechita we will trust him. So the Gemara discusses on Dalet Amud Beis, should I say that there's a brisa that supports what Rava said? Where is this? Here. Lema Mesaile. About 10 lines from the top. And the line begins with the word lay. The last two words on the line are Lema Mesaile. And the next line around 10 lines from the top says Lema Mesaile. Should I say that the following Tosefta, the following line in the Tosefta supports Rava? What does it say? Hakol shochtim. The Tosefta is elaborating on the Mishnah. Mishnah said Hakol shochtim, and it didn't say Hakol is marbe someone whom you would have thought is not acceptable for shechita. So nonetheless, Mishnah says Hakol shochtim, but it doesn't spell out whom are you alluding to. Who is the chiddush? So the Tosefta spells it out. Hakol shochtim. Even the following three people: Afilu Kusi, Afilu Oral, Afilu Yisrael Mumer. So Kusi is a chiddush. That was a big ongoing, raging debate in the days of the Tanoim, whether Kusim are Jewish or not Jewish. Kusim Geri Emes or Kusim Geri Arois. So the Tosefta holds that the Kusim are Geri Emes. That's how we paskin also. But the Gemara is going to say later on the next daf that at one point in history, during the lifetime of Rab Meir, his Talmidim told him that they followed some of the kusim and hagrizim, and he saw that they're worshipping Avodah Zarah. So Rav Meir declared all the kusim are dina kakum. So this din is no longer applicable. The kusim today are not, if you have anybody who's a descendant, I don't know if there are any kusim left, I don't think so. If you have anyone who's a descendant from the original kusim, so today they wouldn't be able to shecht. But the Brisa is saying what the din was in the days of the Tanoim, before Rav Meir made the gzera. Hakol shecht mafilu kusi, okay. Afilu orel, even a Jew who never had a bris mila. In Yiddish, they have an expression when you're about to perform a bris, and they're saying, get Yiddish in the skin. You're going to make the child Jewish. It's not true. If you have a non-Jew who converts, then the Mila is an act of Geirus. If you have a non-Jew, he never had a bris Mila, he never went to mikveh, so he remains a non-Jew. But if you have a Jewish baby born to a Jewish mother, so the bris is not to make him Jewish. The kid is Jewish even before he has the bris. It's a Yiddish expression that's a negate Yiddish in the skin, but it's not correct, al pi aloch. So the Brisa says, afilo oral, even a Jew who never had a bris Mila is Jewish, afilo Yisrael Mumer, even if he is in violation of mitzvahs. So the Gemara wants to know one by one. Akusi, we know what it is. Fine. Hayoral hechidami. What does the price mean when it says a Jew never had a bris milah is allowed a shech? If you should say that we're talking about a case. Mesu echav machmas milah. They had two babies died in the family. If one baby died in the family, so you don't, hemophilia is such a rare disease. So just because one baby dies, it doesn't even make a latest asafik that maybe this hemophilia, maybe there'll be a sakana for the next baby. But if two babies died, two babies died from this woman, two babies from sisters, or from a mother and a daughter, so then they have to be concerned, maybe hemophilia runs in the family. So then there's a latest asafik. It's not a vadai, maybe there's no hemophilia. If you have two machlegs, whether two or three, and we're machma two, sofik sakana. So when machma, if two babies die, it's already considered a latest asafik, maybe this is sofik sakana. So you're not permitted to do the bris milah. You're not permitted to. It's not that you don't have to. You're not allowed to. We had a Rebbe in Yeshiva this Shabbos. He was telling our Rebbe Shemaisa that one Rebbe, who is he telling? I forgot. Pinchas Koretz, he said, visited a community and he was stayed by Shabbos by a family. And they had a boy, and when the mother was diapering the baby, so he noticed that the baby was an older baby already. The baby was an oral. He didn't have a bris mila. So he asked the parents, how come he didn't give a bris mila? So they started to cry, and they said they had two babies before whom they gave a bris mila to, that both babies died. And the Rabbanim said that you're not allowed to do a bris mila. So this Rabbi Pinchas Koretz saw, he goes to Chassidish Maisa, Pinchas Koretz saw Baruch HaKadosh that nothing was going to happen. So he said, I'm going to do the bris. He was a mile. So he said, I see everything is going to be okay. I'm going to do the bris tomorrow morning, Sunday morning. This was on Shabbos, and they should prepare a whole meal. So this mitzvah, we're going to make a bris. So the father was all excited. The mother said, what do you mean? He's going to kill my baby. So the father had to calm down. The mother, no, it was a holy tzaddik, Pinchas Koretz. He promises everything's going to be okay. Comes the next day, everybody from the village came, and they're all ready for the bris. He does the bris, and the baby's bleeding to death. He doesn't know what to do. And everyone's, the mother is screaming, and everyone is screaming, a murderer, what did he do? The bris mila for screaming. So he didn't know what to do. So he walked out, in the street, and then he bumps into the Rebbe Reb Zisha, and he tells him what's going on inside. So he says, don't worry, I'll take care of it. He comes in, Rebbe Reb Zisha comes in, and he says, everybody should wash and have a suda. So they're screaming, the baby is bleeding to death. Baby is not bleeding to death. Everyone should sit down and have the suda. Suda's mitzvah. So they all washed and they sat down, they're reading the Suda, and then in the middle of the Suda, everything became under control. So the baby was okay. So later on, this Rav Pinchas Koretz, yes, the Rebbe Reb Zisha, how did he know that that's going to solve the problem? So it's based on a pasuk in last week's Sedra. Vayechsos Alekim, Vayochlo Vayishtu. When you see that Alekim is Midas Hadin, when you see Midas Hadin and Shoilet, the baby is dying, Midas Hadin and Shoilet, you have to have a party, Vayochlo Vayishtu, and you have to show friendship to each other, Abba V'Yachva, and Reyes Achsidish Emais, Achsidish Emais. So the students were so upset about this. A couple of students came here on Sunday morning, this is ridiculous, how can you say such a thing? Achsidish Emais. They say, whoever believes all Achsidish Emais is a fool. Whoever thinks that all of them are impossible is an apikeris. You have to believe that they were tzaddikim, they could have done some of these things, but to believe all the stories is, and it's keneged adin, you're not allowed to. You're not allowed to say, I know Baruch HaKadosh that nothing is going to, what do you mean Baruch HaKadosh? If two babies die, unless the doctors can ascertain, they have a test, they can ascertain the child has no hemophilia. Different story. But if you don't know one way or the other, so the halacha says if one baby dies, it's not even a latest asafik, because it's apparently such a rare sickness. But if two babies die, either from the same mother, or from sisters, or from a mother and a daughter, so then it's a suffix hakani. You're not allowed to do the bris. So that's what the Gemara says. The Brisa says, hakol shochtim. Even a person you might have thought is not kosher to shecht, is allowed to shecht. Who is that? An oral. So the Gemara says, hi oral hechidomi. What kind of an oral? He doesn't have a bris meal. What do you mean? E lema. If you're going to say, mesu echov machmas milo, that two babies died, and you're not allowed to do the bris on the third baby. So what's the problem? So he's, of course, Ha'israel Malyahu, he's a perfect Jew. Just because he doesn't have a bris mila doesn't mean that he's not Jewish. He's Jewish, and of course he can shecht the behema like any other Jew. There's a machlekes Rashi and Tosfos. What do you have? The din is that an oral is not permitted to eat korban pesach. A pasuk kol oral lo yechabo. An oral is not permitted to eat truma. That's the perik oral is the name of the perik towards the end of Yevamos. And the perik begins, the oral is not permitted. If a kohen is an oral, he's not allowed to eat truma. And if a kohen is an oral, he's not allowed to be makar of karbonis. So there's a big machlekes Rashi and Rabbi Natan. So Rashi says, Rashi can't visualize. What do you mean an oral? A Jew doesn't want to perform bris mila. Rashi couldn't visualize it. He says it goes when mesa echav machmas mila, and medically you're not allowed to be mal the child. So even though it's not his fault, that's the halacha. He's not allowed to eat korban pesach. He's not allowed to eat truma. And he's not allowed to be makor karbanos. A kohen oral is not allowed to be makor karbanos. And the Rabbi Natan disagrees with Rashi. He says no. Only an oral means a mumala reilus. On principle, he doesn't want to practice bris mila. But if the halacha says that he's not allowed to because of a medical condition, so the Rabbi Natan disagrees with Rashi. Holds that he is permitted to eat truma. He is permitted to eat korban pesach. He is permitted to be makor karbanos and mesa megish. A big machlek is Rashi and Tosfos. So here the Gemara says, "Hi oral hechidami." When the Tosefta says an oral is permitted to shech. Pardon me. That's the machlek is Rashi and Tosfos. Yeah. Right. According to Rabbi Natan, everything is fine. Rashi holds, even though it's not his fault, but he's still prohibited from eating the korban pesach, he's eating truma, makro karbonis. Yeah. Same shayla, duchening is a shayla. Duchening is a shayla. Let's say there's a kohen who's an orel, because they're not allowed to perform a bris mila. So according to Rashi, even though it's not his fault, an oral has an incomplete Kedushas Yisrael. So according to Rashi, that's Mishnah Berurah has this discussion, Machlokes Achronim. If he doesn't have a full Din Yisrael, how can I have a Din Kohen? A Kohen has to be, first of all, he has to be a human being. If you make a Goylom, he's not going to be a Kohen. He has to be a human being. And then he has to be Jewish. Then he has to be Shevet Levi. And then on top of that, he has to be a Kohen. So if his status as a Jew is incomplete, because he's an oral, and the oral, according to Rashi, even though it's not his fault, it's Mesa Echa Machmas Mila, has an incomplete Kedushas Yisrael, that he's not allowed to eat Karban Pesach, not allowed to eat any Karbanis, so he can't have a full Din Koy. If he doesn't have a full Din Yisrael, can't have a full Din Koy. So that's why there's a Machloike Sachreinim, would you say he's not allowed to Duchen? Same Shaila, should you give him the first Aliyah? Yeah, he has a full name. The father didn't have a full Kedushas Kayin because he was an oral, but if the son has a bris mila, he will have a full Din Kayin. Yeah, interesting point, yeah, but that's assumed like that.
This oral has to be, I think, like being coming to a mace?
No, he's still a Kayin, he just has an incomplete Kedushas Kuna. But because he a cholol means if the kohen marries a grusha and they have a child, so the child is a chol. Chol means empty. Empty, that it doesn't have any din kahuna at all. Cholol is a problem. A chalol is not allowed to marry a kohen. Let's say a kohen marries a grusha and they have a daughter. So the daughter is a chalol, she's not allowed to marry a kohen. So let's say a kohen marries a grusha, they have a son. So the son is a cholol, so whoever he's going to marry, his daughters are not allowed to marry kohen. And if he and the cholol has a son, and the son has a son, 10 generations later, and then they have a daughter, so that daughter is not allowed to marry a kohen. That's a big problem. There's a boy in yeshiva, boy in yeshiva whose father is a kohen who married a grusha. The boy's mother is a grusha. The parents are not observant. The boy is a big talmid chacham, and so he has a din of a cholol. So he's dating a girl, and he told the girl it's going to be. You have to tell if there's a major chisar. If you have an ingrown toenail, you're not mechuyev to tell a girl in advance. But if you have a major problem, you have to tell her. So he told her that if we get married and we have daughters, we're going to have to be careful. The daughters are going to be halolas. They're not allowed to marry kohanim. And if we have sons, they'll be halolim. And then their children, they're going to have daughters, their daughters. It's going to be li'oil avod. It's going to be an esek.
She has to tell everybody when she was going out that her falshakats, in other words, the real had some problem with the kohen being a kohen.
Right.
So she told her every time you go out with somebody, make sure you have to tell them not to go out with a kohen or whatever happened.
A chalola has to say, sure.
And the wife of Chalola also. Chalola marries a woman, she becomes a chalola.
Right. So even if the husband will die, a kohen will not be permitted to marry the almana. Usually a kohen is permitted to marry almana, but if the almana was married to a chalol, so now she's never, which is permissible. A woman is a kohenis is permitted to marry a chalol. I mean, a kohen is not allowed to marry a chalol, but a kohenis is permitted to marry a chalol. But if a woman, any woman, marries a chalol and then the husband dies, so not only is she an almana, she's not allowed to marry a kohen gadol, but she herself becomes a halala. She's either halala or zayna, machlek zavshen. She's not allowed to marry a kohen. That's right.
Can she teruma from father's house?
That's a big question. Yeah, the pashtus is that it doesn't apply. Pashtus is mashpacha she nitma with an ayin. If a mamzeris got lost, the mamzer sheni adua, so that's a din. That's a din by mamzeris. That's a din by other psule kohol, by psua dako. If it's a suffix psua dako, so most achrenim hold suffix is lohokil, because like mamzer sheni adua. But chalolos, the pashtus is that there is no din of nitmo. Let's say goyis, we once discussed it. Let's say a non-Jew converted improperly by a reform rabbi, and then the woman had children. A woman was converted by a reform rabbi. And then they didn't realize that the conversion is no good. There wasn't a kosher bezin. So the woman had children, she didn't have children, they all go to yeshiva, they all marry, they have grandchildren, and no one knows about it. Let's say one person knows, but it's not public knowledge that the original geris was no good. So do you say, mishpacha shenitmo or nitmo, even on goyis? That since to the best of our knowledge, this person is Jewish, so we treat him as Jewish? Or do you say, no, you have to step up. The person who knows, nobody knows, what can you do? It'll be b'shogeg, but if one person knows, he has to tell everybody, has to tell these people that they're not allowed to marry Jewish people because they're all goy. So that the pashtus is that there is no such din. Nitmo doesn't apply to goyis. I remember there was one rabbi here in the New York area was paskening that it even applies to goyis, and we were all the rabbis in yeshiva were disagreeing with him. So many years ago, maybe 15 years ago, the RCA was looking into getting a dayan from Eretz Yisrael. I forgot, one of the Sfaradish dayanim to come to the RCA Bezdin. So he was in YU for a couple of days, and then he went back to Eretz Yisrael. He never made a deal with the RCA. So when he was in YU, we were talking to him in the halls, and we asked him different shilas. So we asked him this shila. If you have a goy who was improperly converted, and now it's already forgotten, nobody even knows about it, one person knows. Did he say nitmo? You leave it the way it is, and everybody can intermarry. Or did he say no? You have to be megala. You have to say. So he said that's ridiculous. Nobody holds like that. So we asked him. He should publish a tshuva to that effect, because there are those who disagree. He said publish a tshuva. There's nothing to write a tshuva about. It's ridiculous. But it's not ridiculous. There are a lot of people. A lot of rabbanim hold otherwise. The pashtus is like I said. Mishpocha shenitmo or nitmo. It goes on mamzeris. If a mamzer sheni yodua. So that's mutalova b'kol. If you don't know, if most of it's not public knowledge, I know that there's mamzeris here. So I should. So the Gemara says in the end of Kiddush, the Gemara tells Rabbi Yudal Nasi knew about a certain family that there was mamzeris in the family, but the family wasn't aware. The public was not aware. So he told his talmidim, don't marry into that family. Why did he have to tell his talmidim? So the Gemara said because ein hashchina shara el al mishpachas miyachosu shabi Yisrael. So he told his talmidim, don't marry into that family. You want to have an opportunity that your children should be able to have Ruach HaKodesh, to be able to have Nevuah. But why didn't he reveal it in public? Why didn't he publicize it that no one should marry them? Mor says, no. So the pashtus is, I think the majority of the poskim hold like that. Mam zesheni du is only by mamzeris and by psulei kohol. It doesn't apply. Let's say by amone mayavi. There's a family, there's amone mayavi, and it's been forgotten already. So that's the halacha, that is mutalava b'kol. If nobody knows, mutalava b'kol. But if it's halalus, the pashtus is, the taignish. There's no such din, a chol sheni yadua. That's the pashtus. Yes, I can read the shidduch. That's what Rabbi Chana Basman says. I know this person is a mamza, but it's not public knowledge. I know this person is not a mamza. I can read the shidduch. It's heta goma, because whenever the people involved are not aware of the fact, if they know the facts that the mother got divorced from her first husband, she never got a get, and she remarried, she had children from the second husband, they don't know that that's called a mamza. But if they know the facts that these children were born from the second husband and there was no get, that's called a mamza yodua. Just because they don't know the halacha, that's not called mamza sheni yodua. But if the facts are unknown, in the past, a woman remarried without a get, and the children all mamzerim, and no one knows about the facts. This is a few generations earlier, so that's the halacha that a mamzer sheni yadua is mutter. So Rabbi Chanan says, I can read the shidduch. I can be mishadach them. I can be mishadach kedushin. There's no lif neiva because, as far as they're concerned, everything is mutter. The question is, how smart is it to read such a shidduch? They can be married with 10 children, then they'll find out that someone is a mamzer will have to get divorced. So maybe it's not so smart, but strictly speaking, is mutter. Rabbi Chanan quotes as a din of Shulchan Aruch. We must have spoken about this. Let's say I'm a doctor in a hospital. I know that a patient died, and I'm supposed to drive his son to the wedding tonight. So I pick up the son. I don't tell him his father died, that he's in Avelis now. If I don't tell him, he doesn't know. So there's no iser until you have this. The Gemara talks about the Shmur Kareva and Shmur Rechoika. Did you find out about the death of the relative within 30 days after the person died, or did you find out after 30 days? So v'shmor kareivo, so you observe shiva and shloshim. V'shmor rechayka, you only observe yom echad, only shoachas, mikzayim kukulay. So you see from the Gemara that the avelus begins when you have the shmur, when you have the yediyah. Before yediyah, there's no din of avelus. So says Shulchan Aruch, I'm the doctor, I can pick up the son of the man who died, I can drive him to the wedding, we can dance together, and there's no lif neiva. Whatever if he doesn't know, I can't give him tray for food and say whatever he does know won't hurt him. Tray for food, he's violating an aveira, even if he doesn't know the facts that it's tray for food. That's called misasik. If you don't realize, misasik ba'chalovim is also shekein nehenah. But misasik ba'avelus is mutta. If the person doesn't know that he's an avelus, so the din avelus doesn't begin. Maybe it's not a smart thing to do. He's going to want to kill me later on. He's going to be angry. Why didn't I tell him his father died? He has to make preparation. Okay, so it's not a smart thing to do. But strictly speaking, you're not mechuyev to tell him, because Kozmani does know that the relative died. So the laws of avelus don't begin. So that's what the Gemara says. That again, the Brisa says, Yisrael Orel is permitted to shech. So the Gemara says, what kind of an Orel? What kind of an oral are you talking about? E lema, if you should say, it's not his fault, he's not allowed it. You're not allowed to perform a bismillah because it's the health doesn't permit. So the Gemara says, how you saw Malyahu? So he's a perfect, not 100% you saw Malyahu. It has an incomplete Kedushas Yisrael. But it means, with respect to shechting animals, he has enough Kedushas Yisrael that he's allowed to shecht. So what's the chiddush that an oral can shecht? The pshita, what it means is mumala reilus. He never had a bris milah, and a principle he refuses to do. Let's say he was sick as a child, they never did a bris milah. Now he's already healthy, and now as an adult, he refuses to perform a bris milah. He's afraid. It's dangerous. He's afraid. So nonetheless, he's allowed to shecht. One has nothing to do with the other. Even though he's a mumala reilus, we permit him to shecht. And you're not worried about the fact that he's a mumer for one. Let that person is a professional ganef. That's what he does for a living. Is professional. He always eats treifas. So you would allow him to shecht. So the Gemara says that depends on the machlekes. There's a machlekes mecheres on daf lamed where the mumer the davar echad is mumer lachala terakula on that. So we paskin against Reb Meir. We paskin mumer the davar echad. A person is a professional ganef. That's what he does for a living. Every week he makes a geneva, and we know that's his panasa. He does always geneva. So we paskin, he is not dina kakum. A person never keeps kosher. He always violates kashrus. So mumra d'avrechet is not dina kakmus. So the same by arelis. Ela pshita mumra l'arelis, because sover, the Tana is telling him, mumra d'avrechet, even though he's a mumra for the avera, for the mitzvah of performing milah, mumra d'avrechet, lo yhavim mumra l'chal terkul. You don't say dina kakmus. Fine?
So,
Yeah. Even though a person is a professional ganav, so we don't say dina kakum if he observes kashas. If he observes kashas, then he's neman on the kashas. So Frek the Gemara says ema sefer zog the next line. The Brisa said that the Brisa is commenting on the Mishnah. Mishnah said hakol shechtim, even people whom you would have thought otherwise, you would have thought they're not allowed to shecht. We allow them to shecht. So the first one mentioned is the kusi, because the kusi mageri emes. Next one mentioned is the oral means mumal arelus, because mumal adavar echad, we don't pass on like Rabbi Meir and Pharaoh. Mumal adavar echad, lehavi mumal lechal terkula. Aim is safe, what's the next line in the Tasefta? Afili Yisrael, mumar is also allowed to shech. Freg di Gemara, hi, mumar hechidami. What is the third? Who is the third person? What kind of a mumar? It's the same thing. E mumal adavar echad, if it means he's a professional ganav. Or he always is whatever, he always does a certain avera, he always wears shatnas, he doesn't care. Or he's a kainas, always going to the cemetery, he doesn't care. There's an avera that he always violates, the hainu mumal arelus. That's the second case in the brisa, that the mumal arelus can shech, because the mumal adavarechad is not dina ka'akum. So shtetach shayin. El alav, so what's the pshat in the third case mentioned in the brisa mumar? El alav, it's a rayatir rava. That despite the fact that he's a mumarach and a velus, litayavain, still, by the exakim and isimla, we allow him, we would trust him on shchita. If it would be a mumar to eat nevelus lahachis, says, we wouldn't trust him. But the brice must be a support to Rav. El alav, mumarach and a davar, he's a mumar for kashrus. He eats nevelus, a kid de rava. So you have lema messiah, Marsa. Should I say that this line in the Tosefta supports Rav's chiddush? Marsa says, lo. Not necessarily. Oilam, you can say, Eimalach. One can argue the point and say, not like Rav. Mumalai said, Dover, if he's a mumma to eat nevelus, lahach, leteyavan, he's not bagloib. Loi, we wouldn't trust him on the shchit. The my timer, why not? Because keeping the doshba, since he's so used to eating nevelus, that's his habit, his habitual doshbe, keheteridamya. It doesn't mean anything to him. So how can you trust him? How can you trust him that he should shecht? Ella, what maybe? So what's the brisa talking about? Telling me vayta another din mumal adavar echad, mumal adavar echad state shine an oral. Oral means mumal arelus that he can shecht. Ella zogdi gemar. Nay, maybe what the third case in the Tosefta is mumal avodis kachavim. Maybe that's what it means. That a mumal adavar echad is not dino kinachri. If a person, there are 613 mitzvahs in the Torah, so if the person violates plenty of the mitzvahs he probably never heard of. Let's say from the mitzvahs that he did hear from. There's certain people, how many mitzvahs do they know? You have to buy Israeli bonds, you have to march in Israeli parade, you have to say yisker a couple of times a year, you got to observe shiva and shine, you got to bench licht on Friday, but how many matzah, how many mitzvahs do people know? So if he only knows 10 mitzvahs, and 6 out of the 10 mitzvahs he violates, he doesn't care, so he's a mumal Rav Dini HaTorah that he's aware of. If he knows all the 613 and he violates Rav, so Ruba Kukula. So if one violates Rav of the mitzvahs, it's Dina Kakum. Is there ever a din that a person is a mumal to one? So Rav Meir's opinion, a mumal Adavar Echad is also Dina Kakum. But we don't pass like Rav Meir. Are there any exceptions to the rule that the fellow is only a mumar, a mishum? It means he violates a certain din all the time, and he's dina ka'akum, so the wheat paskin, yes, mumal avad izara. If a person worships avad izara, so dina kanachri, even though he only violates one other. Then Gemara says there's another exception to the rule, mumal chal shabbos befarhesya, is also dina ka'akum. Because we are commanded by HaKadosh Baruch Hu to testify to the fact that we believe in the story of creation. We believe that God created the world. So we testify by observing Shabbos. So the person is Mechal Shabbos Befarhesya, the whole community observes Shabbos and he doesn't care. He's Mechal Shabbos Befarhesya in a very flamboyant way. So he's demonstrating he doesn't believe in the story of creation. So that's like Avodah Zarah. So Mumal Mechal Shabbos Befarhesya. Befarhesya means b'mezid, and it's more than b'mezid, mezid v'tchutzpah. that the whole community keeps Shabbos by us. That's what the Chazanish, before the Chazanish, they said, we don't have Mumal Chal Shabbos b'Farhesia today. There's so many secular Jews that don't keep Shabbos, so that's not called Farhesia. Farhesia means he's breaking the discipline in the community. Everybody else is Sabbath observant, and this fellow is a shegetz, and he's not embarrassed to be Mechal Shabbos in front of the chief rabbi. Even if the chief rabbi walked by, he wouldn't be embarrassed. He would still be Mechal Shabbos. We don't have that. Unfortunately, the overwhelming majority of the Jews are not Shomer Shabbos. The Binyan Sion lived in Germany. Bianca Vettlinger, he was the one who gave smicha to Rabbi Samson Reichel Hirsch. So the Binyan Sion was a rabbi in Germany. So he writes, there were so many Reformed Jews there. So he said, there's no longer a din of Mechal Shabbos b'Farhesia today. It only applies if the whole community is observant. They all keep Shabbos. And this fella with chutzpah is Mechal Shabbos. So the Minkach has a chiva where he disagrees. What are you talking about? In Minkach, it didn't happen. In Hungary, everybody was Shomer Shabbos. In his city, Munkach, everybody was Shomer Shabbos. And if one fellow would be Mechal Shabbos, that's called B'Farhesia. But in Germany, they had a lot of Mechal Shabbos, so it's not called B'Farhesia. Right. Right.
Why does the Gemara use the term Yisrael? Why couldn't it just say Mumar? What does the Yisrael have to do with it?
The Gemara is going to say later a difference between a Jew who worships Avodah Zarah and a non-Jew. We accept if a non-Jew comes to the Beis HaMikdash and he wants to offer a korban. So we'll accept the korban if he's giving it to the God of the Jewish people. If he wants to give it to Yashke, so we will not accept the korban. Don't go to a church. But if he wants to give a korban to Elikeso, we will accept it. Even though he worships Avodah Zarah, but now he wants to give a korban to the God of the Jews. But if a Jew who's Avodah Zarah wants to give a korban to the God of the Jews, we will not accept it. So Gemara says that Yisrael Mumal Avodah Zarah is worse than a goy who worships Avodah Zarah. The Gemara learns that from a pasuk. It's a strange din. A strange din.
Today, let's say the difference perhaps between most people out there who are Shomer Shabbos, etc. We hold them basically to
Shabbos.
But let's say there are people today. If there's somebody who grew up and then they left, you know, then they learned, etc., and then they left, they would have the same din. I mean.
You won't consider him Tinek Shenishba.
Right.
But he's not called Befrahesi either. Befrahesi only means if he's breaking the discipline in the community. But unfortunately,
somebody who was in that community, Imam and did, you know, let's say somebody who grew up in Borough Park in Muncie and this and now does, you know.
Unfortunately, in Muncie and Borough Park, there are many Jews who are not Shomer Shabbos. Many Jews. If he would be. He would stand out. The whole community of Shomer Shabbos, he's standing out in a chutzpah digger way, and then he would have the din of Mechal Shabbos b'Farhesia. But unfortunately, there are many Jews who are brought up in religious homes, and now they don't keep Shabbos. So you can't say that so many people in Mechal Shabbos, it's b'mezid, but it's not called b'Farhesia. B'Farhesia means it's breaking the discipline of the community. Yeah.
Monroe.
Maybe. Maybe Monroe is different. I don't know. Monroe.
So there's no such thing
about
giving an aliyah to
somebody
like that.
He's Jewish. The Chazan is a shliach atzibur. So the shliach can only represent the tzibur if he's merutza l'kohol. So the gabbai, that's the gabbai's job to determine whether the Chazan is merutza l'kohol. The gabbai has to be a shlechter. He has to sometimes tell the guy, we don't allow you to daven for an omid because the people don't like you. Or we like you very much, but we don't like the Ivrit, the way you pronounce Hebrew. Just because a guy is an Avelis and he has a Chiyuv, to Dam Pranamit, we're not Mechiyuv to suffer because he has a Chiyuv. One of the Talmidim Yeshiva is saying Kaddish now. He pronounces Hebrew like a ger. He doesn't know how to pronounce Hebrew. It's terrible. And he's not Berutza Lakol. And the Gaboy was supposed to tell him that he's not allowed to Dam Pranamit. That's the Gaboy has to be the Shlechta to tell him. Yeah, right. So a person gets an aliyah. Also, the Balkaire and the one who gets an aliyah are also a shliach hatziba in a certain sense. And they have to be merutza lekohol. So this is the shaila comes up. Let's say a person is gay and he wants to get an aliyah. So that's a davar pashi. You don't give him that aliyah about mishkav zocher. person is not a Shomer Shabbos, you don't give him an aliyah about Shabbos. A person doesn't keep kosher, you don't give him an aliyah about kashrus. A person doesn't keep Taurus HaMishpacha, shouldn't give him an aliyah about Taurus HaMishpacha. He make a joke out of the whole Torah. Give him the aliyah that he doesn't observe. But the question, you give him aliyah, and Parshas Bereishis, he believes in the story of creation. So if the tzibur doesn't know that he's gay, so it's merutzah letzibur. If the tzibur knows and they're unhappy, so then it's ain't a merutzah lekol. So it's not right. You shouldn't give him an aliyah. You can give him hagman glila, okay? But the one who gets an aliyah says the bracha. He's like a shliach tzibur. So that's not right. Just like the shliach tzibur, the chazan has to be merutzah lekol. So to the oil la Torah and the balkara have to be merutzah lekol. The gabbai has to be a shlechter. He has to put his foot down. The gabbai has to judge. He's not going to take a poll every time he wants to give someone an aliyah. Yeah, that's his discretion to judge whether this person is merutza l'kohol or not. So the Gemara says, no, li'ayla mei malach mum alay sadov aloy. Maybe Rava is wrong. Maybe a mum arachal nevelis l'tayava an ezen shchitos ekshere. You don't trust him. And the Braisa... the mumalav adizara. Maybe the Braisa is telling me the first line said kusi is good. Second line said a mumalav relis is good, even though it's mumal adavar echad, is not mumal achalatar kula. The third line tells me a greater chidish. Not only mumal adavar echad shadvare, mumalav relis is not dina kakum, even mumalav adizara is also not dina kakum, which we don't accept la halacha. So the Gemara says, maybe that's what it means. The Amr Ravanan Amr Shmuel Ravanan was a student of Shmuel, said over in his name Israel Mumal Avid is Kochav Muta Lechol Mishchitasai. You can't trust him that he did a good shchita. You have to have someone watching. He doesn't have that manis on it. But if a goy shechts, it's no good even if someone is watching. But Israel Mumal Avid is Muta Lechol Mishchitasai. But we don't pass on like that. Then the Gemara quotes Gufa Amr Ravanan Amr Shmuel. What's the take exact? There is no stesh din. If he's a mumal, the rav din hatar, he violates 51% of the mitzvahs that he's aware of. Then it's din akakum. But if he only violates one avera, that's we don't accept Rav Meir's opinion. Even if the one avera that he violates is avodah zara, so Rav Anan quotes from Shmuel that he's not din akakum. How does he prove that it's true? How does Shmuel know that it's true? So mumal avodah zara mutalechem mishchitasai. Is not dina ka'akum, as we see from Tanakh. Shkema tzina b'yoshofet melech Yehuda, shenana misudas Achav. Achav was an Oved Avodah Zarah. He was married to Izebel, who was a witch. Izebel was an Avedas Avodah Zarah. And Yehoshafat was a tzaddik. Yehoshafat was melech Yehuda, and Achav was melech Yisrael. Eretz Yisrael was divided. There's Malchus Yisrael and Malchus Yehuda. So the pasuk says that they were eating flesh together. Vayizbach loy Achav tzona boko leroi v'lo om asher imoi. Achav had his shach. He didn't shech the behemoths. Achav's men. They had a party together. So Achav shochtim was shechting. A lot of flesh. Vayisisel alas al ramas gilot. So he coaxed, he convinced Yoshafat HaMelech over the meal. He gave him flesh to eat and he gave him wine to drink, buddy, friendly-like. And then he coaxed them to do something, okay, a political act. So you see that he ate from the flesh. It wasn't a secret. Yoshafat was a tzaddik, and he knew Achav was an Abed Abed Azar. And he knew that Achav's men are all of the Abed Azar, and he ate from the flesh that Achav's men shechted. Freg the Gemara, V'dilma Mizoch Zovach, it says in the pasuk that Achav's men shechted, V'dilma Mizoch Zovach, Mechol HaYochal, Vezok that Yoshafat ate. It says, V'yisbach lo, he shechted. And then it says, "Vayisiseu l'alus." Who says that Yoshafat ate? And for the Gemara name, "Vayisiseu k'siv." Vayisiseu means like a mesis, to coax someone to do something. So the way you get something, how do you butter a person up? How do you coax them to do something? You invite them over, and you give them a fleshy meal, and you give them a drink of wine, and you show friendship. And then, after showing friendship, then you convince them to take a certain step, a political step. So the Gemara says, "Vayisiseu k'siv." He coaxed them. How then? He coaxed them by having him eat the flesh. Means a mesis by giving food. Maybe vayisiseu means at the angerat. He talked and he talked. He convinced them. And the Gemara name ain hasasa bedvarim. It cannot be. The verb lahasis means to give food and drink. Freg the Gemara v'loi. since when the word mesis only means with eating and drinking? There's a parsha mesis in the Chumash that if a relative of yours tries to coax you to worship Avodah Zarah, you should bring him to Bezin and give him the death penalty, even though he didn't succeed in convincing you to worship Avodah Zarah. But for the attempting to coax someone to worship Avodah Zarah, a mesis is chai misa. There's a mesis and there's a mediach. A mesis is mesis liyach, and mediach is mediach lerabim. The dinim are slightly different. Mediach is a mediach lerabim. Then the Gemara there's a discussion. How many people is a rabim? Mediach in the Chumash is a medichi irani dachas. If you convince a whole city to worship Avodah Zarah, to convince the 51% of the citizens in the city to worship Avodah Zarah, so that's a din of irani dachas, and the one who convinced them is called a mediach. But the Gemara says the din of mediach is not necessarily an ear. If you mediach as a rabbim, a whole group of people, that's also a mediach. So that's a diun in the Minchas Chinuch, and he quotes from early Achronim. How many people do you need to be called a rabbi? 3 or 10? That's a machlokes in Gittin. How many do you need to be called a rabbi? You don't need a whole city. You don't need davke lahadiach here any dachas. If it's midiach l'rabim, it's already. And this, the dinim are slightly different. Mesis and midiach, but basically they're the same. So the Gemara says, I v'haksiv kisis chachicha. It doesn't say anything about eating and drinking. It means he's trying to coax me to worship Avodah Zarah. And for the Gemara name, v'achila v'shtiyah. The pshat in the pasuk is kisis chachicha means he tries to coax me to worship Avodah Zarah by wining and dining me. He gives me steak and he gives me food to eat and he gives me drinks and then he convinces me. It says in here about that the sultan convinced the Rebbeinu Shel Olam to give Eov a hard time. The Rebbeinu Shel Olam was praising Eov, such a holy tzaddik. So the sultan says to him, everything goes his way. His wife and children and parnasa, everything is wonderful. You just take away his happiness and you'll see he's not going to worship you. So he said, the Rebbeinu Shel Olam causes everybody to die and he loses all of his wealth, and Eov still is religious. Even after everything happens, still religious. So the Rebbeinu Shel Olam says, "Vatisiseini voy, you Sutton convinced me about Eov that I should give him a hard time, levalachinim, to swallow him up for no good reason." So the Gemara asked the Kasha, what? The Sutton gave the Rebbeinu Shel Olam steaks, and he gave him wine. It's not shaykh achil ushtiyah. So what is it? Vatisiseini is bidvarim. Obviously, so what are you telling me that the verb lahasis has to have the connotation achil ushtiyah? Here's a pasuk where it doesn't. Everything more nain lemaila shiny. When it says that someone coaxed the Rebbeinu Shel Olam, of course the Rebbeinu Shel Olam doesn't have a body. So of course over there, from the context of the pasuk, you see that the word vatisiseini, the verb over there, doesn't have the same meaning as it usually has. Whenever it said normally, 99% of the time when it says someone is mesis someone else, it means bachila shtia. I make friendly overtures, I give him food, I give him drink, and then I convince him, and then I coax him to do something. But Kalapi the Rebbeinu Shel Olam, it's obvious the Rebbeinu Shel Olam doesn't have a body, so it can't mean achil ushtiyah. L'may l'shani, that's different. Frek di Gemara, how do you know that it's achil ushtiyah that he ate the flesh? The pasuk says, Vayizbalach alo achov, Vayisisei. Maybe Achov shechted all the flesh, and then Yoshafat was a tzaddik, so he didn't eat the flesh. Maybe he just drank the wine. Maybe he only drank the wine, but he didn't eat the flesh. So, the Gemara, how did you solve your problem? If a mumala of a desire is dina kenachri, so when he handles the wine, it's also stam yainam. So, stam yainam is also aser. So, if he's drinking the wine, you see that a mumala of a desire is not dina kenachri. He doesn't make stam yainam. So, who adinami that he can shecht? That's what the Gemara says. Maishna shtia, why do you think shtia solves the problem? It says there by Yisisei Halalas al Ramas Gilad that Achov convinced Yoshafat to take a political position. So you say by Yisisei means Achil Ashtiyah. How do you know it's Achil of flesh? It says by Yisbachlo Achov, he shechted, his men shechted, and Yoshafat maybe only drank the wine. So the Gemara says that it doesn't solve the problem. Maishne Ashtiyah, that means, how is he allowed to drink the wine? The answer is that mina mumala be dezara loy have a mumala chala terakula. So that's why he doesn't ask for the wine. It's not stam yenam. Sachila nami mumala be dezara have a mumala chala terakula. If you're going to shift it to say he only drank the wine, he didn't eat the flesh, it's still a haichacha to Shmuel that a mum alav et zara is not dina kapim. So the Gemara says, no, hachi ashta, what's the tzushtel? There is a din of yaya netzach. If a person, a Jew or a non-Jew, pours wine in front of avod zara, that's the tikruvas avod zara. So the Rambam writes that that's also in Atoru. Not all the Rishonim agree, but the Rambam al pi pashtas like that. Let's say you makriv a korban in front of avod zara. I take an animal and I shecht it. I shecht it. Goy shecht it. Doesn't make a difference. You shecht it in front of avod zara. You take a salami. If you take a salami, you put it on the altar, so then it doesn't become tikruvas. The Gemara says you have to have zvicha mishtaberes. You have to take a salami and slice it. Or the way to worship David is, I take a stick and you break it. You just put a stick on the altar, that doesn't become tikruvas. So if you take a stick and you break it, you put it on the altar, that's called zvicha mishtaberes. So the din is that yayin nesach is also banom in atar. That's tikruvas. Stam yayinam, if a guy just manufactures wine, or a guy handles wine that was manufactured by Jew, that's only Stam Yenim. So that's also Madar Abad. So that prohibition didn't exist in the days of Achav. So that's the Gemara says, Hachi Ashta, what kind of a tzushta? Shtiya, to drink wine that was handled by Achav. Achav didn't menasech it l'Avod Zorah. Achav was in the practice of worshipping Avod Zorah. And he used to be menasech yayin l'Avod Zorah. But normally, the wine that they pour for Avod Zorah, they're not going to give for a bus of Adam to drink. It's rare that they're going to do. So true, Achav was an Abed Zorah, but when he handled the wine, he made it also. That's a late exer der Rabbanan that didn't exist in the days of Achav. So the Gemara says, Hachi Ashta, what's a tzushta? Shtiya, to drink the wine that Achav gave is only an issue of Stam Yenimu. They are dying in that generation, the days of Achav, dying on Nesa Yenim Shalav de Kacham. The only Yayin that was also then was real Yayin Nesach, that there were Menasach Labed Zorah. He's not going to give him the Yayin Nesach. Usually the Ovd Avod Zorah, who menasach yayin, they reserve it for the Avod Zorah. They're not going to give it to a boss of a dom to drink. Aval achila, but to eat the flesh that he shechted, that's a din deraisa. A noch reshechts is chitos and avela. And if the din would be, then a mum of Avod Zorah, din ikin nochri, also wouldn't be able to eat. The simple reading in the Gemara, this is a big machloikis in Shulchan Aruch. The simple reading in the Gemara is that a mum of Avod Zorah, din ikin nochri, is a din deraisa. That's a machloikis in Yerideya. The Chidor quotes that the Chidor lived in the 1700s. He wrote 83 Svarim or something. So he has a sefer, a running commentary on Yankiv. It's called Pesach Einayim. So he opens up on Yankiv, Pesach Einayim. So in his sefer, he quotes sometimes Kisvei Yad from Rishonim that we still don't have printed. So on this daf, on the next daf, on daf hey, he quotes a machlekes from Rishonim, from Balei HaTosfos, from Ksav Yad. We have it in the Shachan Yerodei machlekes Achreinim, whether this din of a mum alav et zara din akakam, is that a din deraisa or is that a din midirabonim? So the simple reading in the Gemara is that it's a din deraisa. The Gemara says, Stam Yeinim is a din derabonim, didn't yet exist in the days of Achav. So the fact that Yehoshaphat is drinking the wine that Achav handled doesn't prove one way or the other. Doesn't prove that that's not Stam Yenim. Maybe in later generations we would consider it Stam Yenim. The Gzer of Stam Yenim didn't exist yet. But the flesh that was geshocht, that's a din deraisa. That was the, who says a din deraisa? So the Pashta said the Gemara is that Akam Sheshochat is a din deraisa, it's no good. And Yisrael Ovid Avid Azor is Dina Kinochri is a din deraisa. So he should have observed it. Interesting. The Gemara assumes all the dinim deraisa, these dinim deraisa were there. We assume, like the Rambam writes, in every generation, the Chachme HaTorah in every generation developed the Halacha, and there were Dinim Deraisa that were developed in later generations. There were Dinim that were developed by Rav Moshe Feinstein, Dinim Deraisa, by Tanoim, Amoraim, Mishanim, Achrayim, and they become Dinim Deraisa. A din, and many hold the Din Deraisa is only Mikar al Haba. If the Chachamim make a Din Derabbanu, let's say, the Chachamim prohibited, you're not allowed to eat Goyish cheese. Cheese that's manufactured by Goyim, even if you know all the ingredients are kosher, you're not allowed to eat it because of Gzeirah Midrabbanan. So let's say someone cooked some Goyish cheese in a pot, and a Koydim Gzeirah. He cooked it before they made Gzeirah. And then the next week, the Bezdin makes Gzeirah, you're not allowed to eat Gmina Sakhmah. You have to kosher the pot. No. They cooked the cheese when it was still kosher. The Gzeirah is only Mikan al Habba. Whenever the Chachamim introduce a Din Derabbanan, Dinim derabbanan only mikan al haba. So what if there's a din deraisa that was developed in a later generation? Chvei said din deraisa that a certain thing is treif. So they cooked this food in a pot at the time that the psak hamakubal was that it's kosher. And then the bezin changes the psak next time. They come up with a chiddush, with a gzeres hakosav, a drasha, and it's an isa deraisa. So do you have to kasher the pot? Do you assume whenever a bezin in a later generation comes up with a chiddush, it's a gloy milson lemafreya? This was the din from Maimon HaSinayan. This was always the din, just we never realized it. So it turns out that they cook treifas in the pot. Or do you say, no, it's only a din deraisa mikano v'abo, just like a din derabanan. The Rabbanon invented it, didn't make the Rabbanon. So they invented it, it's only Mikan al Abba. So when the Chachamim read a drasha in between the lines, is that called an invention or is that called a discovery? Are they realizing that this was always the din? But Maimon HaSinayan, he says Mikan al Abba. So the Chidor has a, same Chidor wrote another Sefer, one of his 83 Svarim. He wrote a Sefer called Simchas HaRegel, a commentary on Megillas Rus. So he talks about Amayne V'lay Amaynis. It's a question, the nature of the din. You're not allowed to marry a girl is not allowed to marry an Amoyne Mayavi. A boy is permitted to marry a Moaviyah who converts, or a Moniyah who converts. So that's a big question in the Rishonim. Was that a halacha l'Moshe Mesinai, or was that a chiddush that the Bezin was Mechadsh? If it's halacha l'Moshe Mesinai, it was all the way back from Maimon HaSinai. Halacha l'Moshe Mesinai is an oral tradition for the days of Matan Torah. But if it's a drasha, so then you get the impression the Rishonim say the drasha was nidrash at that time.
That's what he was afraid of, the relative. He was afraid of the relative later on going, the Tzofel will come out and people later.
They may reverse the psak. The Bezdin, a later generation, Penashchis es Nachlosi. He was afraid to marry her. He says, Penashchis es Nachlosi. So the Pashmi, he's afraid maybe a Bezdin, a later generation, will reverse the psak. So if it's halachal Moshe Messina, there's nothing to reverse the psak about. No one is allowed to reverse the psak. But if it's a drasha, so then the bezin in every generation has the right to say whatever they please. So that's a shayla. So the chidor there on that pasuk quotes this question in the Rishonim: Amayne v'lay amaynis, mayavi v'lay mayavis. Is that halacha Moshe Messina? Some Rishonim say, and others say no. It's a drasha that the chachamim developed at that time. And then he quotes the machlokes achrenim. Whenever the bezin develops a drasha, does the din only apply mikan al habo? They say no. It's a gloy milsel amafreya that from Maimon HaSinayan this was always the din. So this gemara is assuming that if a mumer lavoid zara dina ka'akum, the gemara is assuming number one that it's a din deraisa, and the gemara is assuming number two that the din was noig already in the days of Achav and Yehoshaphat. How do you know the din was noig? Maybe it was a din deraisa that was developed in a later generation. They zok that the din deraisa already existed then. The Rambam says, in every generation, the Chachamim would add on more drushes. In every generation, they added on more drushes. There was a Gratz wrote a book of history. So Gratz studied in Rabbi Hirsch's school, in his day school, and the day school was Orthodox. But he was Yotze the Tarbis Rosh, so he rejected the whole Orthodox tradition. And he said the whole Torah Shebaal Peh was invented by the rabbis. There never was a tradition on Torah Shebaal Peh. So Rabbi Hirsch, in his polemic against, when he has the long attack against Gratz, he goes, just the Hepach. He says, the rabbis never invented anything. Every single din was Halacha L'Moshe Mesinai. And even when they darshan on the Pasuk, a klal prat a klal, and a riba, and this and that, that's only a remez. The din were always there. The rabbis had never had the right to invent a new din. That's not the generally accepted opinion. The Rambam in the Hagdama to the Pirush HaMishnayos quotes that from the Gaonim, that every single din was given to Moshe Rabbeinu. That's the Lashon HaMedrash. Kol ma she'talmid vasik osi l'chadish ne'emad on the Moshe Mesinai. Every single din that's going to be, every single line in the Mishnah Berurah was told to Moshe Rabbeinu HaSinai. So that's not the way we usually assume. So the Rambam attacks the Gaonim. He says, so where's there room for any machlokes? So machlokes means that they forgot what the din is. So the Rambam says, Ashanda, every page in Shasta is a machlokes. Every page, every Mishnah, everything is a machlokes. They forgot 99% of the Torah. How can it be? So the Rambam says, no. Whatever was given to Moshe Rabbeinu, there's never any machlokes. That's how the Rambam writes. There's never a machlokes on Halacha Moshe Mesinai. Once in a while, there is. But the Rambam is exaggerating. He says, there's no room for machlokes. If there's going to be a machlokes, it means that somebody forgot what the din is. Gemara has once in a while a machlokes. Is there a halacha l'Moshe Mesinai of tzruris, that of chatzin nezik, and so on? So the Rambam says it doesn't make sense to have a machlokes on halacha l'Moshe Mesinai. all the machlekes in the Ruba, 98% of the machlekes in the Gemara are because a new shayla came up and they were arguing how do you darshan the psukim. And in every generation, the chachamim and every dor had the right to develop the halacha further. That's what we usually assume. So the Chidor quotes the machlekes achreinim. If the Bezdin in a later generation develops a new din deraisa based on a drasha from the pasuk, do we say the din is only noig mekanal habar? He's saying no, this din was always noig like that. So here, this Gemara, the Gemara is assuming stam yainam didn't exist yet in the days of Achav, so that's not an issue. How can you say by Yisisehu? How could he drink the wine? How could he drink the wine? I ate Stam Yainim. Gemara said, what's Stam Yainim? Stam Yainim was only introduced in later generation. There was no Stam Yainim then. But how can you say, Achila, how can he eat the flesh? If Mumar Labar Izar, Dina Kakam, says Shchitasa Nevela. So there's a Gemara assuming that Mumar Labar Izar, Shchitasa, Mumar Labar Izar, Dina Kakam is a Din Deraisa. The Gemara is assuming it's a Din Deraisa. And number two, the Gemara is assuming that Din Deraisa already existed in the days of Achav and Yoshua. Maybe I feel naniach that it is a din deraisa. Maybe it was developed in a later generation. No, the Gemara assumes it was there all along. Okay.
Are there examples of contemporary posts
that
Chadish
did din deraisa? Yeah, Moshe every so often came up with a din deraisa. Yeah. For instance, Perish Vias. There's a din in last week's Sedra. There's a din Shas Habiwar. You're not allowed to eat perishvias if you all the peris that grow in Eretz Yisrael during Shnas Hashmita are hefker. So I grab a whole bunch of peris and then 50 pounds of potatoes, and I'm going to eat them as the year goes on. So then all the potatoes are gone on the field, no more potatoes. So the pasuk says, V'yochla v'yoni amecho v'yisrom techol chayas hasodeh. Everyone can eat the potatoes, and whatever they leave over, the Yisram, the behemoths will eat. So the Gemara says, you can only eat kol zman, that is what for the animals to eat. Kol alachai min asadeh, kalei lebehem tocha min abayis. Once the behemoths don't have what to eat on the field, so you're not allowed to eat either. So the Gemara said, there's a din of shas habir. So Moshe has a chiddush. If I have the potatoes and it comes shas habir, be mafke the potatoes, then be zeichet back and everything is fine. A din deraisa, nobody agrees with him. Everybody disagrees. Moshe holds that's a din deraisa. He holds that that's a din deraisa. He came up with a lot of din of deraisa. A lot of times, yeah. Moshe had a lot of chidushim and din of deraisa. Okay. Okay, so they'll grab it. No, we usually assume if it was hefker at the time of Shas Habir, every fruit or vegetable has a Shas Habir. The Bezin has to establish, and Eretz Yisrael, the Rabbanut always puts out the Shnas HaShmitah. The Shnas HaBir is always the year after Shmita, the eighth year. So they always advertise when is the Shnas HaBir for oranges, for cucumbers, for potatoes, for tomatoes, for onions. Every fruit and vegetable has a different Shnas HaBir. So it's usually assumed if you are mafkrit before Shnas HaBir and the date of the Shnas HaBir, it's in the state of Hefkes, and then you can eat it later. But if you had it at the time of the Shnas HaBir, then the din is you have to destroy it, you have to burn it. So Moshe disagrees with everybody. He says, no, the din deraisa, you mafkir it later, then you zeicha back again. And it's mutter. I think Moshe has chidushim on the level of...
Never discusses the idea that something that's hefker during Shemitah, is, that this doesn't apply to it, it's from Moshe's
finish. No, if it's hefker at the time of Shas Habir, that says, and the Mishnah is that that's okay, then you can eat it later. But Moshe has a chidush, if it belongs, I had it at the time of the beer, so what's the problem? So be mafkir it later, and then be zeicha back again.
A patent, it's not a new
thing. I mean, it's a detail. It's
I'm
a detail.
That's an idea about how to get around it. You could do that.
Yeah.
But I'm
no, no. I think that.
Like
we'll have to review the.
Right? So
yeah, yeah. I think so.
Astounding
concept. Yeah, yeah. Absalom Eichig also came up with Din of Deraisa. Yeah. Well, look at them in every generation. They come up with Chidushim, and a lot of times they're Chidushim on the level of Deraisa. New things that don't really say in the Gemara. But they understood that this is Pasha Pshat in the post. Yeah. So that's what the Gemara is saying over here. That's right. So the Gemara again, what did the Gemara say? So Nachma, so what does the Gemara say? How can you prove, how can Shmuel prove from the story of Achav and Yoshafat Yoshafat was a tzaddik achav, was an avid avid zara, and Yoshafat ate the flesh that was geshochten by Achav's men. So you see, even though they roll up the avid zara, he still ate it. So you see, a mumal avid zara is not dina kakum, not dina kakum. So the Gemara says, who says that he ate the flesh? Maybe he only drank the wine, because there wasn't yet a din of stam yena. Vaisiseyu has to have something to do with eating or drinking. So maybe he ate all the vegetables, maybe he drank the wine, but he didn't eat the flesh. So he can't really prove anything from the pasuk. In Ibo Yisema, or if you want to, you can say differently, Lav urche de malke mishtai b'lo mechla. The Gemara is asking, how does Shmuel think that he proved from that pasuk? But how does he say again? Vayisisehu lalas aramas gilad, that Achav convinced Yoshafat by having the party together, by eating and drink together. Maybe he convinced them only by drinking. Who says that he ate the flesh and the drinking? There was no problem. So how does Shmuel prove from the pasuk? The Gemara is going to give a few suggestions. E boy yiseima, if you want, he can say laburche de malke mishtai b'lo mechel. It does make sense. They were hungry. They were talking all day long, just going to drink the wine and eat the vegetables. Not going to eat the main course. Of course, he ate the steaks. He had the flesh also. Pashup shat and the pasuk is that he ate. The Ebo Yisayim, if wanting, gave another answer. The pasuk says vayizbach vayisiseu. That's how it says vayizbach lo achav tzona baka vayisiseu. How did he do vayisiseu vayizbach? Then the Gemara says, "V'dilma Avadya zovach l'arayv." Avadya worked in the kitchen of Achav Harasha. Avadya was a tzaddik. Avadya was a navi. He was hiding out. If they would have realized he was a tzaddik, they would have killed him. They killed all the Nevi Hashem. He's ever killed all the Nevi Emes. She only had Nevi Sheker. So, Frank the Gemara, "V'dilma Avadya zovach." Dilma Avadya zovach. Maybe Avadya gemen afruma and elecha. Maybe he shechted. And for the Gemara, nein. The pasuk says vayizbach l'arayv. How does it say? Vayizbach l'achav tzona baka l'arayv. He shechted an awful lot, and everybody was eating flesh. So it cannot be that Avadya alone shechted so much that that everybody ate. And for the Gemara, v'dilma Avadya zavach. And for the Gemara, can't be l'arayv ksiv. It says that they shechted a lot. Can't be that one person shechted for thousands of people. It's not sufficient. Avadya couldn't possibly have shechted so many. The pasuk says that there were 7,000 people who didn't worship Avad Izar. At that time, Acham and Izabel had everybody worship Avad Izar. They pressured everybody to worship Avad Izar. So the pasuk says, there are only 7,000 Jews who didn't worship Avad Izar. So the Gemara, maybe the 7,000 religious Jews were the ones who shechted all the behemoths. So the Gemara makes fun of it. What do you mean? They were hiding for their lives. They were afraid Achim and Izabel are going to kill him. And for the Gemara, Tamura have him at Tamra Me Izabel. They wouldn't be the shochtim, the beards and the pays and the amulkas. They're going to do the shechita. They're going to catch him right away. Gemara with Dilma, maybe the story was like this. Dilma Gavri the Achav of Habamali. Who says that only Avadya was an Erlecha? Maybe all of the people who prepared the food for Achav are all religious Jews. Achav is an Avid Avid Azav. Vezok, all of the people who worked for him were all of the Avid Azav. Dilma Gabri, the Achav Habamal, maybe they were from it. So Gnemar, Leisal Kadaitach, he cannot be. Dichsiv, we have a Pasuk in Mishle, Moshe, Makshav Adva Sheker, call Mishas Avishad. If a person has a bad cause, so it's bevadois that all of the people working for him are going to be bad people. A tzaddik is not going to be working for a Russia. Since Acha was a Russia, so it's biadua that all of the people, maybe Avadya was one, that's an exception to the rule, but all the others were of the Avad Izar also. Fregmar Vadilma Gavadi Yoshafat Namila Havamala. Maybe it says in that parsha in Divrei Yomim, Yoshafat Melech Yehuda came with a whole bunch of Jews, and Acha Melech Yisrael came with a whole bunch of his entourage, thousands of people. So maybe the people who came with Yoshafat were not from. So maybe Avadya shechted and Yoshafat ate from Avadya shechita. And maybe the other Chevra of Achav shechted, they were there, wherever they have a desire, maybe they shechted, and Yoshafat's men were not religious, and they ate from the Nevela. And
for,
that's what Gemara is going to ask later, I think. Let's see. Maybe the whole entourage, the thousands of people that came with Yoshafat and Afrum, so perhaps Zavach Gabri Diachov, Ochal Gabri Diyoshafat. So Avadya, Ochal Yoshafat, maybe Avadya was the one exception to the rule. He shechted, so Yoshafat ate his flesh. And all of the other entourage, the thousands of people who came together with Yoshafat, they were not from, they were not Elach, so they ate the Nevela flesh. So Gemara says, Lo Sal Gadaitach, cannot be, why not? So the Gemara says, based on the Pasuk in Mishlei, Mid the Moshe Makshavat of Hashem, Kakom Shars of Rishoim, since Shlomo HaMelech writes in Mishlei, that Acha was a Rosh, so all of the people working for him are all of the Avodah Zarah, all Rishoim, well, the Dvarem is called Mishar Sivat Tzadik, but since Yoshafat was an Elecha, so it must be that all of his men were Elecha. It couldn't be. If a person is an Elecha, he's not going to hire Friar people, not going to hire Rishoim. Freg di Gemara, but who says that Yoshafat ate from the flesh, that Achav's Chevra Shechted, maybe he had his own people Shech. The Dilma Zavach Gabri di Achav Ochal Achav, for Gabri the Ochal Achav the Gavrei. Maybe Zavach Gabri di Yoshafat, Ochal Yoshafat the Gavrei. Maybe Achav's man, the Pasuk says, Vayizbach lo Achav tzon abokal aroi v'lo masherimo, vayisisei alalas, etc. So maybe Achav's people Shechted, Achav Shechtem Shechted, and his guys ate that. Maybe Yoshafat had his own shechtim, he brought on his own mashgichim, they shechted and their people ate it. Who says that Yoshafat ate from the flesh that Achav's chevra shechted? And for the Gemara, that doesn't make any sense. Lahavi mafleg nafshei minei. Nah, he wasn't, Yoshafat was not separating himself, he wasn't distancing himself from Achav. They're trying to work out together here. The Pasuk says they were eating together. So obviously it means that he was eating the flesh, that Achav shechted. He's not going to, you don't have any mashmos at all in the Pasuk that he's going to say, I have to have my own shechita. He's trusting him. They're trusting each other over here. Fregmar Minolan, where did you get that idea from? That they were so close and were so buddy-buddy on that incident, on that occasion, that they're going to blend in together and he's not going to insist on having his own shechita. That's what it means. Me and you are buddy buddy. That's what Yoshafat tells Achav. We're together, everything, my nation. That's what it means. I trust you. I rely on your hashgach, everything. Yeah, the Gemara can't mean that. Elamiata, the next phrase says, Kisusi kisusecha. What do you mean, kisusi? Kamani kamocha kami kamecha. What does it mean? Does it mean we're in this boat together? We're both the sakana, the enemies. The Arab countries surrounding Eretz Yisrael. So he says, Kamani kamocha, we're all working together for the common cause. Let's say the Orthodox sometimes go together with the Reform and the Conservative when it's an issue, klapi chutz, when there's anti-Semitism, and when they're attacking with Eretz Yisrael, so you have to go together with the Conservative. But he says over here, Kamani kamocha, kami kamecha, what does it mean? Does it just mean we're working together to protect ourselves from the enemy surrounding Eretz Yisrael, klapi chutz, or does it even mean klapi plim? Kamani kamocha means I trust you on kashrus and we're buddy buddy everything. So first the Gemara said, lahavi mafleg nafshi minei, Yoshafat is not separating himself, he's not making any chashadas on Achav. So the Gemara said, minon harino, I lema. If you think that's what it means in the pasuk, kamani kamocha kami kamecha, means klapi plim, we're getting on together. No, what about the next phrase? Elamiyata kami kisusi kisusecha. Achanami also goes on Issa Beheter. No, what does it mean kisusi kisusecha? We're all in the sakana together. We're joining forces together. He's Yoshafat is a tzaddik. He knows Achav is an Ovid Abedizor. So he says, we're joining forces together to fight against the enemy surrounding Eretz Yisrael. That's what he means. Elamiyati kisusi kisusecha. Achanami has to do with Issa Beheter. No. Elamada aviasusecha teviasusi. If they're going to kill your horses, they're going to kill my horses. We're in it together. Klap yichutz. We're fighting against the enemy. Hachanami ma'adehavi alayvi alach. Hachanami, the first phrase that he said, kamoni kamocha kami kamecha, doesn't mean klapi pnim. We're working together. We're going to eat from each other's hashgacha. No. It means for defense purposes. we have to defend ourselves from the enemy surrounding Eretz Yisrael. And my the Havi Asisech, the Havi Asisech and Ami, my the Havi Aloch, the Allah, Ilavi Amach, what will happen to you and to your people, to your nation, Tevi Alai, the Ilavi Ami, will happen to me also. So where do you see, from the Psukim that he certainly trusted him on the Kashrus, that he, Lahabi Maflik Namshe, where does it say? Elazagmar names, based on a different Pasik. Elamehacho, the Melech Yisrael, the Yoshofed, Melech Yehuda, Yoshim, Ish Al Kiso, they were both on that incident when they were together, and Achav convinced them to go to Ramaz Baal. What does it say there? Yes, it says over there, each one was sitting on a fancy throne, Ish Al Kiso, Mudoboshim Bigodim, Bagoren, Pesach Shar Shamron. What do you mean a Goren? A Goren is a place where they threshed the wheat. That's where they were sitting, in a Goren. That's Bekovedik. When you have two kings joined, they meet in the Versailles. They meet in the White House. They don't meet in a barn. What do you mean in a Goren? My Goren. What does it mean a Goren? If you should say Goren Mamish, a place where they do threshing. Oh, to Shar Shamron, Goren Hava. Shar Shamron. Shamron is a city in Eretz Yisrael. Shamron is a walled city in Eretz Yisrael. So there must have been a building there, Bishar Shamron. You don't meet in the two kings don't meet in a Goren. Oh, to Shar Shamron, Goren Hava. What? The way to enter into Shar Shamron is to pass through a Goren, a threshing place. El Ano means, like the Goren, the Bez Nagodol, the Sanhedrin used to meet in the Lishkas Hagazas in the Beis Hamikdash, in a fancy room, and they used to sit Gechatzi Goren Agula. They didn't sit in a circle. They wanted to sit in such a way that you should all be facing each other. They should be able to carry on a conversation. And each one should see the other one's body language. They talk with their hands, they talk with this, or they see, make a frown. Someone was telling us last night, he used to learn by Rav Moshe Feinstein. So Rav Moshe had a different derech halimut from everybody else. So the Mashgiach and MTJ was Rav Shmuel Birman. Rav Michal Birman. So he said, Rav Michal used to sit, Rav Moshe had a table over here, Rav Michal Birman used to sit over here. Sometimes Rav Moshe said, Rav Michal Birman learned to Miri Shiva in Europe. So he learned like everybody else. Rav Moshe a lot of times had a different mahalach and gemar. So he said, a lot of times when Rav Moshe would say Shir, the Mashgiach didn't like it, so he would make a frown to all the Talmidim that they should know that he doesn't agree with Rav Moshe. So the Gemara said, the Sanhedrin used to sit. We would have wanted they should sit Kigur and Agula in a whole circle, that everybody should see everybody else. But Rashi explains they didn't do that. They sat Kechatzi Gur and Agula, a semicircle. Why? In case someone has to go to the bathroom, so you have to have room to leave. So they sat in a semicircle. So that's what it means. They were sitting Goren Shar Shamron. There was a building, Shar Shamron, a Bekovedik building at the entrance to the city Shamron, which is a walled city. And the two kings were sitting like the Sanhedrin would sit facing each other, Biava V'Yachva V'Shalom V'Reis, facing each other and discussing the politics. They were negotiating politics over here. That's what it means, Goren. Ela ki Goren, they were sitting like a Goren, this nun. Sanhedrin Hoyse Yosheves, Kechatzi Goren Agula, like a semicircle, Kadeshi Hiroim Zeze. So the Gemara said, that's where you see that they got along well together. So you can't say, maybe Yoshafer had his own shechtim and they shechted, and maybe Achav shechted and his people ate and he shechted. No, the Pashtus and the Pasuk, they were eating and drinking together in a very friendly like way, not making any separate. He knew he was an Abed Azor. They didn't talk about the Abed Azor, but he ate from his hashgach, he ate from his kashas. So that's what Shmuel claims. Ravona claims in the name of Shmuel, getting back again, there was a Tosefta that spelled out what the Mishnah means. Mishnah says, Hakol Shechtim, will we even permit people to shecht whom one would be surprised? You would have thought you shouldn't let him shecht. So nonetheless, Mishnah says, Hakol Shechtim. So who is it referring to? So the Tosefta spells it out. Hakol Shechtim is marba three people. The Kusi, Kusim Geri Emes, and the Mumer LaReilus. The Mumer LaReilus is a Mumer LaDavrechet, is not a Mumer LaChalaturkul. And then another Mumer. So who's the third one? So the Gemara now is suggesting, like Ravona Noma Shmuel, a Mumal Abed Azara, even a Mumal Abed Azara is not Dina Kakam. We don't accept that. We pass, and he is Dina Kakam. But that's what he suggested. The third one is the Mumal Abed Azara. We don't pass like that. So how do we read the Brisa? The Brisa says a Mumal is good. So we read the Brisa like Rava. It goes, a Mumal Echel Nevelis Litei Oven. That Bodhi Ksak Vishachet. But it's Sakmenosinlo, that you can trust him on the Shechit. Zag the Gemara, Leimim Misaylei. Should I say that here is another proof? Shmuel's proof was from the story of Achav and Yoshafat, that Yoshafat was a tzaddik and he ate from the flesh. That was Geshach, the Mayachav's men, who were clearly of the Avodah Zarah. It couldn't be that Avadya shechted for everybody. And all the others, Avadya was an exception to the rule. All the others, Avadya was from the Nevi'ah HaEmes. Avadya was one of the Talmidim of the Elisha. Yeah. The Haftarah tells when Avadya died, says, Hamani came to Elisha Navi. Yeah. So the Gemara says, Leimim Misaylei, should I say that there's another pasuk that seems to support Shmuel? The pasuk says, Eliyahu HaNavi was hiding out from Achav and Izevel. They wanted to kill him. They killed all the Nevi'ah HaEmes, and he ran away. He was hiding. So he was hiding somewhere in a cave. So what did he eat? He's going to die from starvation. So the ravens brought him food every day. Every day, a miracle occurred. The ravens brought him lechem abasa every day. Where did he get the basa from? Amar Rav Yudah Amar Rav. Rav has a tradition. The ravens would bring the flesh from the slaughterhouse where Achav's men were shechting. They were all of the Avodah Zarah. And Eliyahu Navi wasn't hiding, so he was eating the flesh. You see, Beferis, that it's good. So, the Gemara, you're talking about a miracle. The Rabbanu Shlom made a miracle that the army should bring flesh. Al Piyadi Bushaini. I can't prove from that. Al Piyadi Bushaini. Then the Gemara wants to know, what does it mean, Orvim? Orvim really means that the ravens brought it, there were birds that brought it. Frag the Gemara, my Orvim. Omar Avinu, Orvim Mamish, there were birds. It's not normal that a bird should be lechem abasa. The whole thing was a miracle. Amar Abad Abay Min Yoymi, how do you know, he asks Rabin, how do you know that it means birds, such a miracle? Maybe it means human beings. Vidilma Trey Gavr Dehavish Mai Orvim. Maybe it's two people, their name was Orvim. Two people, and that was their name. Milo Ksiv, it says in Tanakh, Vayahargos Orid Batsur Orid Vesev, Beyekev Zev. I think Beyekev Zev. So Orvim Kiyekev. In the Perek and Tilim that's printed at the end of Shachris, so you have this Orev Kazev. They were goyim who were killed by the Jews. They were anti-Semites who were killed by Jews. So maybe just like over there, Orev is a Goyishan name, so maybe it means Orvim, two people. That was their name, Orev. Two people, his name was Orev. They brought him. Amalei, so Ravida answers back. It's a little ridiculous. Moshe, you have a lot of people named Moshe. Herschel, you have a lot of people, actually. You have two people with the name Orev. And Punk, two people with the same funny name, an unusual name. Only appears once in Tanakh, Orev. Zev, you have a lot of people, Velvo. But how many people have names? So Amalei, so Ravina says, Yisramoyim, Milsedet, Travai, Havishmai, Orev, is very far-fetched. It doesn't make any sense. Not Mestabed, that it's two people with the same name. Zagma V'dilma Al-Shem Mekaimam, maybe means, like you say, New Yorkers. Two New Yorkers, or two Bostonians. Michigoyim from Michigan, two Michiganers, yeah. So maybe Orev is the name of a city, and two Orev means two people, two New Yorkers, two people from the city Orev brought him the food. The Dilmal Shemikayim, Amilok, see, we have a pasuk, Varam Yotzik Dunim, Vayishbu Me'eretz Yisrael, they kidnapped a Jewish girl, Naira Kitano. And then what's his name? The Tsar Tzvo Melech Aram had tzaras and he didn't know how to cure it.
Naman,
the general, had tzaras and didn't know how to cure it. So the Jewish girl said, "Why don't you go to the Navi Elisha and he'll cure you?" So that's how the story begins. That the Aram kidnapped, they captured by Yishba Meretzol Narektan, a little girl. So the Gemara says there are three stages in a girl's life. First, the girl, when a girl is born, she's a ketana until she reaches bas mitzvah. Then she becomes a gedola, and we call her a naira. She's a naira for a maximum of 6 months. And then she becomes a bulgaris. So there's a steer in the pasuk that says she was a naira and she was a ktana. Ktana means she was younger than 12. Naira means in the half a year between 12, Yud Beishan, until bas mitzvah, in between bas mitzvah and bagrus. The kashalon. And we have a contradiction in the pasuk. Korla naira, korla ktana. Which is she? Is she a ktana or naira? The omar apidos, the pshat is, ktana, she was before bas mitzvah, a little girl. She came from the city Naorin. She's called a Naira, like a Bostonian, like a New Yorker. So just like you say, Naira, she was a ktana from the city Naoren. Maybe over here it says Orvim, there were two men from the city Orev. And for the Gemara Nain, in Cain, it shouldn't say Orvim in Cain, Orviim Eboile. It doesn't fit into the pasuk. One would be a New Yorker, Orvi, and plural should be Orviim with two yids. It doesn't say, it says Orvim. So Orvim means that there were birds. What does Gemara say? By the Lema Misaile, should I say that this Brisa is a proof? That's the Brisa we were talking about the whole time. The Tosefta goes on the Mishnah. Hakol Shochtim, and the Mishnah doesn't say who is included. So the Tosefta said three people: Afilu Kusi, Afilu Ora, Afilu Yisrael Muma. Hayol Hechidami. Repeat. If he should say means Mesecha Machmas Mila, the guy never had a bris because it's medically dangerous for him. See, not allowed to have a bris. So what's the chiddush? Yisrael Amalia is a perfect Jew. He's a perfect Jew. Of course he can shech. What's the half a minute to think otherwise? Ella, what is a mimshita? Muma la'relis. He's an adult. And he can't have a bris milah. He doesn't want to have a bris milah. So what's the chiddush? That a mumah l'davar echad is not dina kakum. So Ema Sefer says, afil Yisrael mumah. What kind of mumah mehechidami? I mumah l'davar echad, and a mumah l'arelis. He said it already. That's the second case. Yisrael mumah means mumah l'arelis. So what are you adding, Yisrael mumah? El alav mumah l'avadizorah kidir avonan. Oh, it must be the third line in the Braisa. That's what we said all along. The third case in the Braisa means a mumulah with a zora, and the Tosefta says, like Rav Aron HaMashmul, the mumulah with a zora is not dina kenachri. Zog di marlein, li'olam ein malach, li'olam he can say, la we paskin la'aloche, mumulah with a zora, loy. If he's a mumulah with a zora, it's dina kakum, and he can't shecht. The Amamar, we have a tradition, chamura with a zora, mocham and all the other Averis in the Torah, shekala kaifer, bo, whoever denies Avodah Zarah, kemoyda b'chala Torah kula. Means the reverse. Means one who worships Avodah Zarah is dina ka'akum. So he says it in the positive. Kala kaifer ba, one who denies the validity of Avodah Zarah, kemoyda b'chala Torah kula. But he means the reverse. Kala evad Avodah Zarah is dina ka'akum. That's what he's driving at. He says b'losh and nikiya by saying in the positive. So the oilam, we don't paskin like Ravana namashmol. And Avodah Zarah, mumal Avodah Zarah, mumal Avodah Zarah means he always does it. Let's say someone held a gun to his head and said, worship of his arm, I'm going to kill you. So the din should have been Yehareg Valya. He's supposed to give up his life. He didn't give up his life. So that's not Dina Kakum. He worshipped Abed Azara Ba'inus. But let's say the guy goes to church every week. No pacha. No one's threatened. That's Mumal Abed Azara. He always worships Abed Azara. Not Chad Pami. So the Yerlam the Gemara rejects Shmuel's din. So what does the third din in the Tosefta mean? A Mumal Aysadavi Kidde Rava. That's what it means. A Mumal Lecha Nevelus Litayavain. But iksakim and oisen loy. So that's how we pass on halacha that mumulah by the zara is dina kakum. Then the Gemara is going to say by bringing karbanis that you ask why does it say Yisrael mumulah by the zara? So the next line in the Gemara, the second wide line on Hey Amid Aleph, Gemara is going to quote a brisa from the Toras Kahanim from the Sifra. We would accept a carbon from a non-Jew who worships Avodah Zarah, brings a carbon to the Beis Hamikdash. He says not to Yoshke, he says carbon Lashamayim, to the God of the Jewish people. We would accept it, despite the fact that we know that he worships Avodah Zarah all the time. And he said this is a carbon Lelekei Yisrael. But if a Jew is an Avodah Zarah, we wouldn't accept the carbon, even though this is Lelekei Yisrael. The pasuk discriminates. The Jew is an Yisrael Mumal Avodah Zarah. Is worse than a goy. It's not that Yisrael is dina kakum. An akum avid avidazor, you would accept the carbon. Yisrael mumal avidazor is worse than an akum avidazor. It would be no good, just like if a nochri shechts is nevela, so if the Jew shechts is also nevela. But that's the question, is that a din deraisa or a din derabon? So that's a machlekes, the shach and simen beis, as the machlekes dachreinim. And the chidur, in his commentary on the An Yankif, on this Andaf Hei, quotes it's a machlekes of Rishonim. Shchita says nevela, but it's a machlek, but it's a din deraisa, din derabon. Okay, we'll have to continue next week. The parsha begins. These four parshas, Truma Tetzava, Yaakov Pikuda, all about binyan hamishkan. Moshe Rabbeinu instructed Bnei Yisrael to have to build the mishkan, and then it says they should follow all the instructions. V'chein ta'asu, v'chein ta'asu, the end of the aliyah. What's added on v'chein ta'asu? So Rashi quotes from the Gemara, V'chein tasu l'doros. In all the future generations, when you want to build the Beis HaMikdash, you should do exactly the same. So they didn't build exactly the same. The size was different. The Mishkan Shiloh was different. And the Beis Rishon was different. Beis Sheni was different size. Lasid Lavai, By Sashlishi, it says in Yecheskel, it's going to be, everything is a different size. How can it say, Vechein Tasu L'Doris, everything is going to be the same? So the Gemara says, no, Vechein Tasu L'Doris means that just like now, when they built the Mishkan and the Midbar, they had to have everything Al Pi Urim V'Tumim. Aaron HaKohen was getting the information from the Urim V'Tumim. Urim V'Tumim is considered the highest level of Nevuah. And Moshe Rabbeinu was a Melech, and Aaron HaKohen was a Kohen Gadol. So they had, and Moshe Rabbeinu had a Din Sanhedrin. So you have to have Sanhedrin, Urim V'Tumim, Melech, Kohen Gadol, you have to have all of this. So to the Doris, whenever you want to build the Beis HaMikdash, you have to have all of this. In order to endow the Mokum with Kedusha Beis HaMikdash, you have to have everything. So the Gemara raises the question, how could that be? When they built the Bais Sheni, there was no Melech, there was no Jewish government at all till the days of the Chashmonaim. That was several centuries later. When they built the Bais Sheni, it was with the Rishayon of the Melech Paras. But the Koresh gave permission. There was no Jewish king. They had a Navi, but they didn't have Urim V'Tumim, and they didn't have a Melech. The Pasuk says the Urim V'Tumim didn't function. The Gemara says, the Gemara in Yuma quotes that Pasuk, the Urim V'Tumim didn't function in the beginning of the Bais Sheni. There's a machlekes Rashi and Tosfos whether they had to put the Shem Hashem, the Urim V'Tumim is the Shem Hashem that's put into the Choshen. So is it an integral part of the Beged? So the Kohen Gadol had to wear, when he had to wear the Choshen, had to wear Shemoneh Begadim, had to wear the Shem Hashem in it, otherwise he's not wearing the Shemoneh Begadim. And he's saying, no, the Beged is a Beged without the Shem Hashem written on the cloth. Shem Hashem is, if you have to consult the Urim V'Tumim, it'll answer. If you know in advance it's not going to answer, they were told B'Nevuah that the Urim V'Tumim is not going to answer anything during Bais Sheni period, so what do you have to waste your time? May as well not put in the Urim V'Tumim. So that's Machlekes Rashi and Tosfos and Yuma, the first peg. That's Machlekes the Rambam and the Ravid, whether the Urim V'Tumim is an integral part of the Choshen or not. But they didn't have the Urim V'Tumim telling them B'Nevuah that this is the way to do it. They didn't have a Jewish Melech. So how did they build the Bais Sheni? So the Gemara says, well, there is a Machlekes Hatanoim, whether the Kedusha Samigdash that was created by Shlomo HaMelech was Kitchel Asi Lavoi. He was Mekadoshit, and the Kedusha remained forever and ever. Or no, at the time of Churban Bais Rishon, the Kedusha was disappeared. It was Paka, and then they had to reinstitute the Kedusha. So if you hold Kitchel Asi Lavoi, when Shlomo HaMelech built the Rambam Paskins like that, when Shlomo HaMelech built the Bais Rishon, he was Mekadosh the Mokim, and the Mokim never lost its Kedusha. If you want to add on Mosifin ala Azoris, if you want to add on more area, then you're going to have Melech, Urim V'Tumim, Sanhedrin, Kohen Gadol, the whole works. Bekulu. But just to rebuild the Beis HaMikdash on the same place, Kitchel Asi Lavoi, they didn't need. But it says in the book of Ezra, when they built the Bais Sheni, they brought karbonis like Chanukah's Beis HaMikdash. The Gemara says, L'simin b'alma. It wasn't really Al Pidin, it wasn't necessary. Al Pidin, there was no need for Chanukah's Bais Sheni. And the other opinion in Gemara is no. The Kedusha, the Ravid Paskins the other way. That the Kedusha's HaMikdash was Batla, and when they built the second Mikdash, they had to be Mekadosh all over again. But the Pasuk says, V'chein Tasu, you have to have Melech or Metumim, Navi, and Kohen Gadol. So the Gemara says, Ba'achas Mikaleli, you don't need all four together, any one of them. So they had a Sanhedrin, they had a Kohen Gadol, and they had a Sanhedrin. You don't need all four, Melech and Urim V'Tumim, with the Sanhedrin and with the Kohen Gadol. If you have some of them, again, so that's a Machlekes Hatanoim, where the Kitchel Asi Lavoi, like Kitchel Asi Lavoi, Machlekes the Rambam and the Ravid. And the Gemara says that Machlekes will be relevant how you understand what happened at the beginning of the Bais Sheni period. Whether the Karbonis that it says in Tanakh, in Ezra, they brought Karbonis, were they really Al Pidin Karbonis for Chanukah's Beis HaMikdash to be Mekadosh the Mokum? Because it was Lo Kitchel Asi Lavoi, and you see, you don't need B'chol Eilu Tanan, B'achas B'chol Eilu Tanan, one of the above, some of the above, you don't need all. What do you say? No, B'chol Eilu Tanan, Yitaka need all four. And the Bais Sheni didn't need any Karbonis. It was only L'Zecha B'Yalma, it was only L'Simon. So that's a Sugi and the Gemara. Machlek is the Ramam and the Ravid, had a Paschal.
The Mishkan was never the kitchen. There was no Kedushas after every time they built the Mishkan.
They took it apart.
There's no Kedushas. No
Kedushas on the Makam. The Makam is only temporary. That's for sure.
For sure.
Yeah.
When they change the cell, the death of Shaul, first it says Ha'ish. right? And then later on, he's called a Nara. Because when he told the story, he said the young show, the most important part, he neglected. So when he told her, now they call him a Nara, no more Ish.
In German, a Nara is a fool. In Hebrew, I don't know. Nara doesn't mean a fool. In Hebrew.
Yeah.
Is also the smell possible, Cholov?
And
the chametz on Pesach,
so yeah, it says you're not allowed to pass by a goyishe bakery to smell the chametz because you'll be getting hanor from.
So and what about stam is chaser? I want to smell chaser.
Chaser is mutabano.
So it's not all right.
It's
muta.
Yeah. There is a machlokes, the shach and the mechaber have a machlokes. When you say yisuri hanor, rasa banor, maybe it's only if it's oimed lahariach. Let's say you have flowers. That oimed l'reyach, so then if you smell it, that's a violation of yisur hanor. But if it's yayin nesach, that's asam hanor. Yayin nesach is oimed l'shtir, not oimed l'reyach. So that's a machlok. So mechaber holds that reyach is only a violation of yisur hanor if it's oimed l'hariach, not oimed not. And the shach disagrees. Mechaber is quoting Mordechai. He's quoting Balei Hatosfos.
That would be the same thing.